Thank you so much, Wisdom, for being with me today on the Wave Capital's guest speaker series on relationship building in a team environment. You're my 65th guest. How are you today, Wisdom?
I'm doing great. I appreciate you having me. Anytime anybody wants to hear anything I have to say, it's always an honor. Thank you.
You're very welcome. It's an honor to have you as well. And we have a mutual friend, a couple of mutual friends, Mike Hill. I've been friends with him since my time at ESPN, and I know that you worked with Mike and my distant relative, Stephanie Baroujian, at
Yes, great
ESPN.
people. Great people. Back in the old days, well, Stephanie was already legendary, and Mike and I, we were young pups back then.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. KSEE 24 in Fresno, and it's so wonderful to have a friend of Mike's and Stephanie's on my podcast as well.
Yeah, they were awesome. We had a good time out in Fresno, and I learned a lot from Stephanie because, like I said, she was an icon, and she just retired recently. So yeah,
Yes, she
love
did.
Stephanie and Mike and I. Ooh, Mike and I, we're like brother from another mother.
Absolutely. And that's such a wonderful brotherhood that you
Yes.
have. When you think of relationship building in a team environment, Wisdom, what does relationship building mean to you?
Well, for my professional career, right, without being around a good team, I wouldn't even be here. So let me take it a step further when we talk about a team, because when I think of team, I think of people in your circle who are connected to you as a personal team. Because let me give you an example. When I first started out in the business, I was in Jackson, Mississippi, down in the business back in the old days, back in the 90s. And a friend of mine who was in class with me, Deanna Sheffield, who works for the Tampa Bay Rays now in the communications department with the baseball team, she was a journalist back then. And she helped me get my very first job behind the scenes at the ABC station in Jackson, Mississippi back then, just based on what she was already working there. So she was in a program where she got to be a reporter once a week. She was a straight A student, amazing human being. And because of her connections with the station, she comes to me one day and says, "Hey, they have a job opening at the station. I don't know how much it pays, but are you interested?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, definitely interested, because I need to somehow figure out how I'm going to get into this industry." And she talked me up, and when I showed up to the interview, the guy hired me, the news director at the time hired me on the spot. So that just goes to show you, that was the first example where I was like, okay, it's important to have people around you who are like-minded, who think kind of the same way you do as far as work ethic, as far as being on a journey. And I'm not talking about think the same way you do as in beliefs and all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about the mindset, the grind, the hustle, I will help you if you need help kind of team. And then later on in life, we talked about this. Mike Hill and I are like brothers. We met in Fresno, California, back in the mid the early 90s, and we've been best friends and like brothers ever since then. Same situation. Mike has helped me over the years get jobs, get interviews. He's helped me with agents. He helped me publish my book. I mean, these are things that go unspoken a lot of times, but people don't realize is very important when you have a team of people around you. Surround yourself with people with some drive, some ambition, some knowledge that can encourage you and keep you going when you're going through rough times, or when you may need some answers, or when you may need some encouragement. That is huge. That is huge. And then you take that, what you're learning, and then you take that, what you've built and you've gained from others, and then you try to spread that around when you go to these different places. It's not always going to be successful, because I've been in some, as I'm sure you've seen as well throughout your career, I've been in some places that weren't as fun, weren't as successful, people not as nice. But then I've been at some places where it's been life-changing, and you just take people from there, and then you've been, next thing you know, you have this giant circle of supporters around you. So team building is huge. I talk to my son about this all the time. Put a team around you so you can be successful, not just today, but going forward.
And life is all about teams. I love how you walk me through that narrative. And that's so great that you were influenced by a Tampa Bay Rays member. I just had Joe Maddon, the former Tampa Bay Rays manager, and Rick Vaughn, the former executive director of Joe Maddon's Respect 90 Foundation. But he was the VP of communications for the Rays. He also got his start with the Baltimore Orioles. And he also, for 2 years, worked for then Washington Redskins. Redskins, now the Washington Commanders. So I love drawing, different parallels and finding synergies amongst my guests. But, you mentioned the stops that you made throughout your career. Some were, more pleasant than others. I noticed that you worked at CNN as an anchor. You also worked for WRAL in Raleigh. I used to live in Raleigh. That was one of the places I lived in. I had gone to school at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. You were at WKRN in Nashville, Tennessee. And then obviously KSEE 24 in Fresno. Tell me about those different stops and what were your experiences, the friendships you made, the stories that you covered. As the life of a journalist, would love to hear how you got started and just, tell me about your time also at Jackson State University. So you've been in so many different areas and have filled so many different capacities. I find your background very fascinating.
Well, it's interesting, Gary, that you say that, because I think all of those different experiences helped make me who I am today. So when I was at Jackson State, I told you about how Deanna helped me get that job.
Yes,
And back
Deanna.
then, so I had to start on running the teleprompter. Back then, the teleprompter was paper, so I had to stick the paper in the machine and roll it with my hand. It used to jam up all the time, and the anchor used to be cussing, "Oh, what's wrong with the prompter? What are you doing back there?" Of course, I'm like 19 years old. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just trying to figure it out. And then eventually, they start expanding their sports team, and they knew I wanted to do sports. So they gave me a camera and said, "We're gonna go. We want you to go out and start shooting football game, high school football games." And that evolved into going out and shooting college games, football games, and basketball games. And then eventually, I got a chance to, because they liked what I was trying to do. They saw that I was trying to figure things out. They were like, "This young guy, he's trying to understand what's going on here. He asked lots of questions. We know what he wants to do. So let's give him a." The sports director, Mike Rau, who is in Ohio now, no longer in television, but he said, "I like what he's trying to do." So he kept giving me all these opportunities. And then the news director co-signed on it. And eventually, my first real assignment in like college football, because things were moving kind of fast with all the different teams, and they had just expanded the program in Jackson, the TV program on Sundays. They said, "Hey, you take the camera, you go down there, and you shoot Alcorn State football." Alcorn State at the time was up in Jackson State in that conference, and their conference was the big team in the conference.
Yes.
Alcorn State had a guy by the name of Steve McNair, who
Yes.
had just come onto the scene. Now, nobody knew who he was, right? So they said, "Oh yeah, you take the camera, go down and cover Steve McNair. We're going to cover Jackson State, Mississippi State, University of Mississippi, and Southern Miss. We got those. So we'll send a rookie down there." You know what happens next? Steve McNair blows up. He becomes this massive superstar at Alcorn State. So they said, "All right, rookie, now you go cover some other school. You go cover Mississippi College. We're going to cover Steve McNair, and we're going to cover all the other schools. So you go get." I didn't care, because I knew it was about experience at that time. And again, I was trying to work my way up to something bigger. Eventually, I left Jackson. I did get a chance, though. I will say this: one of the biggest cases I ever covered in Jackson. And because I got this large opportunity, it was such a big case. It was a civil rights case from way before I was born, when Medgar
Sure.
Evers was killed in the 60s, the person who killed him, and they finally arrested him in the 90s, and Byron Della Beckwith, and they tried him. And I was at the trial when they finally convicted him after all that time. So at the time, that was the biggest story I had ever covered. I was in the courtroom when they read the verdict, and the family, and all these different things. So that
Wow.
was huge. That was huge for Jackson, Mississippi. I also covered Jackson State basketball. Lindsey Hunter was there at the time. He was really, really good basketball player, turned into a lottery pick with the Detroit Pistons. Then I left there, like I said. Then Fresno is where Mike and I got together. What was so huge about Fresno is when the time that I got there, Jerry Tarkanian had just come back there. You remember him from UNLV?
Of course, he's a fellow Armenian, Jerry Tarkanian.
Yes,
The
yes.
1990 national championship with UNLV.
Yes. So I didn't know Jerry Tarkanian was from Fresno. So I get there. I'm a news reporter. The sports guy left after I got there, so I filled in until Mike got there. So now I get a chance to cover the legendary Jerry Tarkanian at Fresno State in his home area. And that was a huge deal as well, because people loved Jerry Tarkanian. So
Yes.
that was huge. You got some news, a lot of news out of that. Then Mike came. Mike took over that. I leave. And I go, where'd I go? Raleigh, North Carolina. So
Yes,
this
Raleigh.
is crazy. This is your area, the Tar Heels. I was there covering that team when Mack Brown was there the first time, when they were really good, but they
Sure.
couldn't beat Florida State. So
They
Mack Brown,
couldn't.
they couldn't beat him for
That
nothing.
1997 season, which was Mac's last year,
Yeah.
the best team in the country in Tar Heels history. And I remember that was the year that was such a, it was such a prime time game. And unfortunately, yeah, Florida State came out on top on that one.
Yes. I'll never
Definitely.
forget that because going into the game, everybody was hyped and saying, this is the year the Tar Heels are going to take down Florida State. At the end of the game, Burt Reynolds, Orlando Jones, Florida State people, the actors, they were coming out with their Florida State gear on. They were smiling ear to ear because they had just, they, I can't remember the final score, but they destroyed North Carolina. And they were pretty much like, yeah, we put them in their place. They get so much for that. That was a great experience, though. I also covered the Vince Carter team that went to the Final Four, which was the same year that the legendary Dean Smith, he right before the season, he retired
Yes.
and let Guthridge take over the team. They ended up going to the Final Four with Vince Carter, Antoine Jameson, Brendan Haywood, Shamon
And
Williams,
Ed Cota.
Ed Coda. That was a great back. I'm telling these experiences were amazing. Were amazing. That
Yes.
was when I was working at WRAL, so that was incredible. Along with some news stories as well. That's when, and then I end up at CNN. That's when it got really interesting because now I'm covering fires and hurricanes and shootings. That wasn't so much fun, but I did, as we talked about, build a lot of relationships there as well. Leon Harris, who was one of the big anchors at CNN at the
Yes.
time. Fred Hickman, who was a sports anchor at the time.
Right.
So we had some good times there, and some Larry Smith was a sports anchor at the time, who is now a news anchor. I think he's in Kentucky. He was here at WJLA. So great relationships there and with some other people behind the scenes. Left there, ended up in Nashville because guess who was in Nashville? Mike
Yep.
Hill.
Mike Hill and Steve McNair.
Mike Hill's in Nashville. So I'm looking after CNN and Mike's like, hey, this is the relationship part that you're talking about and the family and the whole thing. Mike Hill's like, hey, why don't you come to Nashville and work at the station where I'm working at in Nashville? And I'm like, I'm ready. Mike sets it up for me. I talked to the news director, Matthew Zelkind, at the time. He was more excited than I was. He gave me the job. And I worked in Nashville for several years. Mike goes on to ESPN. I ended up leaving Nashville and then coming to Washington, D.C. And I've been here ever since. But that speaks to what you were talking about this family and this relationship thing. And having a team in place. Mike, instrumental in that move. Mike, I mean, I can't say enough about Mike Hill. When I was in Nashville, the Titans just opened up the stadium there. Of course, that stadium, I think they're about to tear that up and build a new one, but they had just opened the new stadium. Then the Titans go on a Super Bowl run. How about that?
Right.
With Steve McNair.
Right, exactly. That's the amazing part that you covered Steve McNair's career at Alcorn State, and then you end up in Nashville where you worked with Mike Hill previously in Fresno, and Steve
Yes.
McNair plays for the Titans. How about that?
It's a small world. It's a
Right.
small world. And I would see him and I would say, hey, you remember when I used to walk up to you and have that camera on my shoulder? And he's like, oh, yeah, I remember you because you used to ask me these crazy questions. So it was a good time. And then Nashville to Washington, D.C., where I have been in Washington, D.C. 23 years, I believe. I was at another station for 20 something years, and I've been at WSA9 for a year and a half. But over that time period, Garrett, I have, oh my goodness, built so, like, expanded the whole relationship thing that you're talking about. It has expanded. And the trust part that you mentioned as well is also important because if people in Washington, D.C. don't trust you to give them the news, you're not going to be here that long. And they've shown that over and over again. I was able to break stories. I was on the streets as a breaking news reporter when I first got here for many, many years. I was able to break a lot of stories because they trusted me because I had built a relationship with them in a working environment. They would call me and give me tips on stories and give me information on stories. And people were like, well, where'd you get that from? No, we can't talk about that. I got that from some of my people, some of my connects. So again, like you said, developing a relationship is crucial. And a lot of people don't understand that. A lot of people think you just show up and you just do your thing and you're good to go. But If you don't have the proper relationships, if you don't have the proper connections, you don't have the people around you that help build you up, then the struggle is going to be even harder because you need that. Like a lot of times when I was getting those stories, all kinds of stories, I'm talking politics in Maryland, DC, Virginia, I'm talking all kinds of stories, crime stories, the good, the bad, the ugly, anything you could think of, because I covered it here in DC. If I didn't have that support system around me, those people around me that would help me with these stories and guide me because of the relationships that I've built, then I wouldn't be here talking to you today because they helped make me. There's a lot of retired police officers. I'm not going to say their names because you know how that goes. There's a
Sure.
trust thing here, but there's a lot of retired police officers that I still keep in touch with to this day. And I tell them all the time, you help get me here. You help make me to what I am today. So yeah, it's been amazing. And of course, I've covered a lot of stuff here in Washington because everything goes on here. I covered Michael Jordan's last game when he got mad at Abe Pollin and stormed out of the back then. I think it was the MCI Center because
Right,
Abe wouldn't.
MCI Center
You remember Abe wouldn't let him
in
own the team.
Chinatown. Yeah.
So yeah, so and I've covered I covered the Lady Terps when they won the championship under our Brenda Freeze the first time they won, and on and on and on.
And George Mason's Magical
Mason
Final Four run.
Madness, yes, Mason Madness, which was also incredible to see that team beat all those big time schools, the legendary blue blood schools, and
North
get to the
Carolina
Final
was one
Four.
of them that year.
North Carolina was one of those schools. They beat UConn, Michigan State. I can't remember the other one, but yeah, they had an it was an incredible run. And I remember Jim Calhoun saying they have no business even being in the tournament. They didn't win their conference, and then they beat them. And then Jim Calhoun was mad.
Yeah.
So yeah, so it's been an amazing run, but again, none of this would be possible if I didn't have those relationships in that work environment that you're talking about.
And I used to live in Washington, D.C., and I used to live in Raleigh, and I visited Fresno. I visited Nashville. So I'm very familiar with all the places you have primarily been at and worked at. What makes D.C. so special to you? Because you've been there for over 2 decades. And when you compare DC to other places you've been at, just talk to me about why do you think that is? And is it because by the time you got to DC and you did a lot of relationship building already? And again, you talk about your relationship with Mike and how he helped you get the Nashville job at WKRN. But when you got to DC, what attracted you to DC, and once you got there, what made it a natural fit for you?
Well, what made it a natural fit was the fact that here's the biggest thing that I love about Washington, D.C. is that Washington, D.C. is like a diamond. It's in the middle. And on each side, you have Maryland and Virginia. And then you have all these pockets around it, like Arlington, Alexandria, Clarksburg. You got Germantown, Gaithersburg, Rockville, Fairfax, all these different places around it. And then you got D.C. kind of in the center of this, because that's like the home base, the launching pad, so to speak.
Of course.
It's amazing to see how many different the diversity in the cultures that are around here. And I'm not talking about just in one pocket. I'm talking about the entire region, DC, Maryland, and Virginia. The diversity of the, I mean, you will see all kinds of people from all kinds of places here. If you want to get to the city, you can actually get to the city, or you can stay in the suburbs, like in the sticks where I live. Or you can live in the city. That's another thing, because I know in some places, like in New York, for example, you can have a car, but it's not really a good idea. And you know how New York is. It's hustle and bustle and
Sure.
nonstop. Here, if you want the hustle and bustle, you can go get it. If you don't want it, drive your car home and you can be in the sticks in 20, 30, 30 minutes. That's what I love about Washington, D.C. So between the cultural diversity, between the city feel, and then the suburb feel. And then the other thing about it is, this is what really got my attention about Washington, D.C. when I first got here, or when I was getting ready to come here. It's the nation's capital. It's the seat of power pretty much to the entire world. Everything that goes on in the entire country and in the world has some kind of connection to Washington, D.C. I don't care what it is. Whatever, wherever something happens, There's all because this is such a big community and an international community and a diverse community, there's always some kind of connection. Somebody in Washington, D.C. is connected to whatever is happening all around the world. And
Yes.
that's another thing that's very, very attractive. The people here are amazing. Now, we can debate whether they can actually drive or not. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about that part of it. But the people here are actually they're amazing. It doesn't matter which area you're from or which area you go to, because you're just talking about good people, good people. And when I say diverse, I mean, like I said, they're from everywhere, and not just everywhere in this country, everywhere all over the world. And you can find that here in Washington, D.C. And it's a good melting pot for everybody. There's all the political stuff that goes on here, some good, some bad, as you know. You judge that for yourself. But there's a lot of things that go on here in the little communities. The communities have their own uniqueness to them. It's in close proximity to other areas like, Baltimore. I know Baltimore is not really Washington, D.C., and they don't want to be, and that's great. That's fine. But they're not that far away. You got Annapolis, which is the capital of Maryland. The Navy's there, and you got all these colleges here. I mean, this is a happening place. If it wasn't for the cost of living, it would be perfect. The cost of living is crazy. It's not New York and San Francisco, but so that's good. But I love this place. I love the diversity, everything that goes on here, the news factor, how the community will embrace you if you're genuine. And it's just something special about Washington, D.C.
It's a very special place, and as I mentioned, I had lived in DC for a year and a half, a couple months before my senior year at North Carolina. I was a Georgetown University student. I also was an intern at WSA9 for a couple of months. And then when I graduated from North Carolina, I did an internship on the Hill for a U.S. Congressman from North Carolina, Brad Miller, who was a Chapel Hill graduate. And then I worked at NBC News. I was an NBC Universal employee, but I was a desk assistant working on the assignment desk. And I met a lot of people, including Chuck Todd, who I recently had on my podcast. And I just had a lot of relationships that I built there. And it was the greatest, year and a half in DC up until that point in my life, because I had never lived anywhere else other than Florida, where I grew up, New Jersey, where I was born, or North Carolina, where I went to school. And I've lived in obviously other places since then. And now I live in Orlando. My wife and I are 2.5-year-old son live here in Central Florida. But DC is one of those few places, other than Atlanta, used to live there too, San Francisco, New York, Boston. DC is one of those places, Chicago as well, that is a melting pot. A lot of diversity, wonderful cultures, great people, just high intellect, very motivated, ambitious, the intellectual, charismatic nature of people, where everybody has their different personalities and opinions and beliefs. But you can sit down with anybody in those areas and you can have an intellectual conversation and a unique perspective on life, in a matter of minutes, right? And you really want to soak it all up. And that's the type of relationships I like to build, are with people who are interesting and people who, give back to their communities and people who are doing good for society and who are, highly accomplished, wanting to do things, not just for themselves, but for a team environment, for the greater good, for the betterment of society. And I just love the fact that you and I have a lot of synergies, and it's just amazing, just to hear your perspectives.
And you know what's great is something you said that was interesting was about the intellect of the people here. And you could talk about anything. I have learned so much because I think diversity is good. In my opinion, diversity is good because you get a chance to interact with people who are not from where you're from, whether it be not from your state or your area or your community. Like I said, they can be from another country. An entirely different country. So now, like you said, we're having a conversation about some things that I don't know about, and it could be about anything. It could be, oh, what is that like in your world? Whatever your world is, could be your state or in your country, whatever. What's the food like? What is the community like? What is it like to live there? What is the weather like? What is it that, the political? How does the political system work there? All these there. How much does it cost to live there? All these different things. And like you said, you can have that conversation within minutes of wherever you are in this area. And it's almost like a free class, if you will, a class. I'm in a classroom, a world classroom, and every time I have a conversation with somebody who's different, who has a different background than me, then I'm getting an education, a free education from it. And hopefully they're getting a little bit from me too, but I learned so much just from talking to people and having conversations with people. You and I, when we were talking, when I saw your name, I saw the Berugian name, and that's how we figured out about Stephanie. And I was like, oh, because Berugian is not a, it's like not like Wisdom Martin.
Right.
So I said, do you know Stephanie? And you were like, yes, that's my cousin. And you explained it, but that's the kind of th those are the kind of things I'm talking about. The Armenian community. And you told me about Jerry Tarkanian. I knew about that when I was there because they, when he came there, it was a big celebration for him coming back. But these are the kind of things that you learn when you go into different communities and you're around different people and you embrace the knowledge, you embrace their experience and their lifestyle and their experiences. And you're like, oh, okay, now I see, now I know, now I'm learning. And now I just feel like I'm a better person for having interactions with all these different people from all these different places. It is amazing.
That's wonderful. And I love how you're so welcoming of different cultures and, just speaks to your character and how you're up to meeting, different people, and they may have different perspectives. They may have similar ideas or thoughts and opinions, but I just love the fact that, that's your mantra, just soak it all up
Oh, absolutely.
and talk to as many people as you can and learn as much as you
Right.
can. And as a fellow journalist, we take pride in the fact of, researching, reporting, preparing, presenting the news, and doing it in a very interesting way, in a very informative way. And I just love that, your life has intersected, whether it's politics, sports, media, business, or other avenues that people delve into to make for a more, fulfilling life. And so when I think about your career, is there one particular moment, and you've talked about many already, but was there one particular moment or a place where you felt that you were at, or a conversation you had where it was a pivotal moment where it made you look at your life differently and it kind of changed the direction of your life?
There's a couple of them, and one of the ones I've already talked about is the day that Deanna helped me get that job at Channel 16. Because
Absolutely.
before then, I had no idea. I'm serious. I had no idea. I mean, I knew what I wanted to do. I was passionate about it. But I had no idea how I was going to break in. I was trying to figure out how can I get my foot in the door with one of these TV stations. So that was a pivotal moment because that could have gone, if just think about it, if she didn't turn, and I was, again, that relationship is what we're talking about here. We came into school together. We had classes together. So we had a relationship. But if we did not have that relationship, if we were not friends, then maybe Deanna doesn't turn to me and say, hey, there's an opportunity here. I think you should go for it. And then I say, oh, absolutely. Then maybe that doesn't happen. That could have changed the entire course. There's so many professors that I had at school that kind of said, okay, here's how you're going to do that. Dwight Cunningham, who actually was a newspaper writer, who was one of my professors, encouraged me so much when I was in school. Dr. Gene Young, another one of my professors, and he was a social studies professor, not in mass comm, but he encouraged me so much. He used to call me. I used to suck up to him in class because I used to read my assignments. He'd give us assignments, and I knew other people didn't read them, so I would suck up to him by reading ahead. Then the next day in the classroom, when he's calling people's names, and I'm like, oh, me, and he's like, oh my gosh, Kosciuszko. That's where I'm from, Mississippi. He's like, Kosciuszko, go ahead, what's the answer? And I would tell him the answer. He was like, man, Kosciuszko is killing y'all today. And I would do that the entire semester. So that was pivotal because that encouraged me. I mean, it was funny and he laughed at it. He thought it was really funny and so did I. But that was encouraging me. And that was, again, building a relationship. We went, and when I left and came back many, many years ago before he passed away, I would go down to Jackson, take him out to lunch. We would talk, we would laugh and talk about all the things he had been through and where I was. That was a moment. The Mike Hill moment, meeting Mike Hill was a moment because that, as I said, he later on helped me get a job, later on helped me get an agent. He was pivotal in all of that. So I would say the top two moments was the Deanna moment, getting me my very first job, and then actually meeting Mike Hill, because Mike and I, kind of different backgrounds. He Alabama, Mississippi, kind of the same place. If you put them on a map, you fold them like this, they're built the exact same
Right
way,
next to each other.
right next to each other. So, but Mike has that New York background as well.
He does.
So we come from different places, and he's more fast-paced than I am. But again, our relationship was crucial to my development as well. And we're like sounding boards for each other when it comes to not just work things, personal things as well. And we can be funny, and we can be serious. But meeting Mike Hill was pivotal. Deanna helping me was pivotal. And also, there's a news director here, or was a news director. He's retired now, by the name of Phil Mentlin. Now, he was at Fox 5 when I was there, and he is one of the guys who, when I was on the streets and they were getting ready to make some changes, Phil would say to me, when I was filling in at the time, he would say, "Give what he would tell." I know I heard about this. Give him some more opportunities. And I would get these opportunities, and Phil Mentlin would say to me, "You're pretty good at that. You're pretty relaxed up there. You can do this job." That was a pivotal moment as well, because Phil Mentlin was the boss who believed in me and believed in my capabilities at the time, and gave me an opportunity. Margie Ruttenberg was the assistant news director at the time, who used to work at NBC4 before she came to Channel 5. Also very instrumental, because she would encourage me and tell me, "Look, we're going to put you on the schedule." She'd tell me all kind of stuff that was going on and say, "We're doing this and we're doing that. I'm going to help you because I think you got that, da, 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 da." Those things were crucial to me, because even though you're a veteran, and you're running through, and you're hustling, and you're grinding, and you're always on the go trying to come up with the next thing, when somebody is there to push you forward and to give you a little nudge and to consistently say, "You are good enough to do this. Not only are you good enough, but you're really good. We are going to invest in you." That is amazing. That is amazing. So I'll say one more time, Deanna Sheffield, when she got me the first job in television, when I met Mike Hill when I was in Fresno, all the teachers, and Phil Mentlin and Marjorie Ruttenberg, the news director and the assistant news director at Fox 5, that believed in me. And they actually put me on that anchor desk for the first time, and gave me the job as an anchor from being a basic a hard news or breaking news reporter. So those are my big three, my Mount Rushmore, if you will.
Well, thank you so much for presenting me and my audience the Mount Rushmore in your life, because everybody, whether you, me, we have a Mount Rushmore of people, mentors, former colleagues, role models, people who inspired us to be who we are and to give us an extra push, give us that extra words of wisdom. There you
Yes.
go.
Garrett, I don't want to leave out my parents here, because I don't want you to think I didn't have a good upbringing. Both my parents were teachers. Dad was a math teacher, master's degree, and my mom was an English teacher. They encouraged me and told me what to do to get to where I am today as well. So they were like the starting point, the linchpin to say, "Okay, all right, go out and conquer the world, young man. Go out there. You can always come back here to the farm and raise cattle, but go out there and take your shot at doing some other things." So they were instrumental in that as well.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing about your parents, because my parents were role models for my sister and me growing up, and very instrumental in our upbringing and our growth and development and our success. They definitely contributed to that. I think of, as you're speaking, my father, a lawyer by profession, my mom, a school teacher, so that we have that in common
There you
too.
go.
There, it's all about the teachers. And I wanted to mention about some of my guests, because Kim Stone, who I interviewed on my podcast, she's a former executive for the Miami Heat. She also is the former general manager of the Chase Center when they opened up the Chase Center for the Golden State Warriors. But she is currently the CEO of the Washington Spirit. So she's in
Oh,
your neck of the
nice.
woods. And
Nice.
so when I think of also the CNN connections, I mentioned to you offline, I'm going to be interviewing Kitty Pilgrim, also of CNN, Allison Kosick, formerly of CNN as well. Another lady by the name of Susan Hendricks. I'm sure you might be familiar. She was the anchor for CNN and HLN in recent years. And you had mentioned that civil rights case that you covered early on in your career. And Susan, who I just interviewed a couple of weeks ago, she's an investigative journalist and she covers a lot of different stories. So if I can connect you with her, she might find that story you covered to be fascinating, and maybe she would recall that, given that that's her profession, covering investigative journalistic pieces. And you talked about your time in Raleigh and covering North Carolina sports. Well, right after Bill Guthridge was Coach Matt Doherty, and Matt Doherty was also a guest on my podcast. So it's just amazing when I look down the list of people who have been on my podcast. Fred Whitfield, who longtime friend of Michael Jordan's, also a guest on my podcast. I met Fred and Michael Jordan with my father 20 years ago at the Hooptie Celebrity Golf Classic in Greensboro, North Carolina. And Hooptie Charities is an organization that Fred has led for many years, giving back to the local community. My father was enrolled in a golf tournament with Richard Dent, Super Bowl MVP of the Chicago Bears. And it's interesting meeting Michael, because Fred was very instrumental with Michael at the Washington Wizards. Fred is a former Nike executive, but their friendship goes back almost 40 years. And then he helped Michael run the Charlotte Hornets as his number two guy, his right-hand man. So I just look at my guest list and I'm like, wow, there's so many things I can talk about with Wisdom, because either he has direct ties, indirect ties, or just, synergies that we can just share on this podcast. So I really appreciate that.
6 degrees of separation. How about that? Yeah, I bet you we sat here and talk for an hour. We could just go on and on, and I could say something, and you'd be like, "Oh, well, I know this person, and I know this person," and we can go back and forth because that's the way the world is supposed to work, if you
Absolutely. What is
will.
your friendship? You talk about your friendship with Mike and what it's meant to you, like brothers. What is your friendship? What has it meant to you with Stephanie? What are some things that you recall or stories that you can share about Stephanie? And I also want to talk about what has WSA9 meant to you, and then your opportunities there as an anchor.
Well, when I was in Fresno, when I first got to Fresno, you know how when you get to a new place, you have to see who's who, and who's doing what. And Stephanie Berusian and Bud Elliott were the main anchors at the time, and they were a big deal in Fresno because Bud used to work at CNN before he got to Fresno, so they were a big deal. And a lot of times, this is where the learning comes into play. A lot of times, people don't even realize all you have to do is watch. When you the phrase watch and learn, you can just watch somebody. Just watch how they move, and you will learn a lot. And because Stephanie was an icon at that station and a legend at that station, all you have to do is sit back and watch her. Just watch her. Just watch how she moved. Watch how smooth she was on that desk. Watch how smooth she was in the newsroom, and look at the conversations that they had, her and Bud were having just about around covering news, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. Here's how we're putting the show together. So for me, the learning experience was this. Look at how Stephanie's doing this. Look at how Stephanie's reading that news story. Because at the time, I couldn't read it like that. I was like, oh, that's terrifying to me. I'm going to go out here and be a reporter, where I can just say what I have to say and stop talking. The ad-libbing, the break, every time there's breaking news, watching Stephanie Berusian sit on that desk and just go through it like it was nothing. I mean, just smooth, no errors, no nothing. And I know it was work because she had worked to get to that point. But to be able to watch somebody like that, to learn from somebody like that, just from observation and just seeing her operate, was tremendous. Because then I'm like, okay, this is the blueprint, because this is what I want to be one day. I want to be like Stephanie is on the desk here at KC24 in Fresno. That's how I want to be someday. I want to be sitting up there on the desk and saying, I want somebody to say that about Wisdom Martin. I want to be like Stephanie Berusian and Bud Elliott here at KC24. So that's how important that whole experience was to me, is to watch and learn from the real pros who are at work at the time. For WSA9, being here has been tremendous. They got great leadership over there, or over there at the TV station. They believed in what I brought to the table. They believed in the hustle and grind that I'm on. I mean, it's been an amazing journey, and I jumped at the opportunity to go there. I know a lot of people over there as well, a lot of people who have been in the market, Allison Seymour, Annie Yu, a lot of people that have been, and a lot of people who are coming into the market. When Allison Seymour, we worked together at Channel 5 in DC for many, many years, and I thought Allison was tremendous because she's a genuine person, she's a nice person. And again, she's on the same trajectory. She had sat on that morning show for a long period of time. So I said, oh, I got to learn from her. I got to see how she does this. See her out in public when people go out to different events. I got to see what she's doing because everybody loves Allison Seymour. Now, everybody's not going to love Wisdom Martin, but I want to see how she moves, how she operates in the public. I want to see how she handles things on the desk. And that's the learning process of it. And that's the experience that I'm gaining every day when I'm watching someone. I believe that you can learn something from everybody, but it's just about opening your mind and seeing, okay, what am I going to get out of this mentally? What am I going to get out of? What is my takeaway from this? And that is what I did with Stephanie. That is what I've done with Allison Seymour and some other friends. I got a whole lot of friends that Sean Yancey, who was at NBC4. When she was at Channel 5, and even to this day, I still look at her as, oh, wow, she's amazing. Just all kinds of people that I say, okay, yeah, this is how you get it done. Take bits and pieces. This is how you get it done.
And I mean, I could ask you what is the best piece of advice you've ever gotten, but that would probably be challenging only from the perspective of that you've gotten a lot of great pieces of advice from so many different people. So I just was curious, is it hard to pinpoint just one in particular that kind of stands above the rest?
I think one of the things that started me off on this whole journey, my mother was instrumental, and she would always tell me, never be afraid to try. Never have fear when you're going after your journey. She would always say to me, number one, don't be afraid. Number two, figure out your path. Think about it, and then figure out your path. And then just go out there and go attempt different things. If it doesn't work, then it doesn't work. Then try something else. And she would always say to me, when you're getting ready to leave home, I know you're a young man, and eventually you're going to leave home. Go see the world. This was her thing. Go see the world. Go try different things. Go learn. And then if it doesn't work, then just come back here. Because you can always come back here. But you will live with regret if you don't go and try to chase your dream. So you can't have fear. So there is no fear out there. So go out there, try it. If it doesn't work, try something else. If that doesn't work, try something else and just keep it moving. So that's the thing that stuck out in my mind is to keep trying and do it without fear. Always learn too. She was big on always learning because she was a teacher and
Yes.
she would always talk to me about that. So yeah.
I love that it came from your mom. And it would have been just as equally important if it came from your father too. And I'm sure it came from both your parents.
Yes.
And being that it was from your mom, I find it very special because a mother's special bond with her son is very extraordinary and unique. And the fact that she told you just, live your life and experience the world and have no regrets. You learn from experience and you try new things. And I love how, hey, if it doesn't work out, that's okay because keep trying and keep
Right.
experiencing. And there are going to be other things that you like or dislike, and then it'll help shape and mold your path, is from what I
Right.
understand. And you've had an extraordinary career and you're still living your best life. And the work that you do at WSA9, I love that, you get to anchor, Get Up DC and you cover Washington Commanders football
Oh,
during
yeah.
the season, and you have your own show on WSA Plus. Talk to me about those experiences.
Yeah. Well, getting a chance to cover, especially the Commanders now with Jaden Daniels, that's next level. This is like this is through the stratosphere now. So this is nothing like Washington has ever seen. And another part of it would be, hopefully I'm still around when they move into whenever they get this squared away with this new stadium at RFK. It's not done deal yet, but it looks like that may happen. That would be huge if that ever happens. So that's amazing. And just being here in this time where Dan Quinn's the head coach, they got a new ownership group with Harris. And Magic Johnson's involved, and Jaden Daniels is out there slinging it, and all the players. Everybody's just all excited about what they're doing, and the sky's the limit for what this team is able to accomplish. Being able to work on that show, on the football show at WSC9, is huge. Is a huge deal. And again, this was the first year of that, and this was the first year of Jaden Daniels working with former Commanders player Sean Springs, and all the and Chick Hernandez, who was also a sports icon around in this area. Working with those guys and talking about football is like a dream come true. It's unbelievable, and it makes your dream better when the Commanders are winning, and they are winning, and they do have their quarterback of the future. So that's huge as well. Now, my show, my streaming show on Streaming Plus, A Moment of Wisdom. So I came up with that. Streaming is a big thing, is the big thing now, and they wanted to do a lot of streaming. So I came up with this concept. I can just interview people. I'm going to interview people, and I'm just going to talk to them about, just like you're doing right now, about their life, about their ups and downs, their whole journey. And that's what it is. So I've talked to a comedian, Bill Bellamy. I've talked to a singer, Kevin Ross. I've talked to Deborah Cox, Karen White, all singers. Who else have I talked to? Oh my gosh, I'm having a brain freeze right now. All these different people that I've talked to. The comedian that's on one of those late night shows, Mercurio, Paul Mercurio, I believe his name. So there's just so many different people. When I have these conversations with him, I always ask them, well, what makes you tick? Make the singer major. What makes you tick? What makes you do what you do? And what have been some of the ups and downs, that some of the things that you've gone to? Dominique Dawes, gold medalist. Masai Russell, who's a gold medalist. She's on the show, some gospel singers. And not just people who are actors and actresses and famous people, but I've also talked to a young lady who was in the foster care system, and Cordelia Crenshaw here in Washington, D.C., came out of the foster care system, became Miss D.C., and then now she's an advocate for the foster care children that are in there because of her journey. So people like that, the twin mama who had a baby, and then they told her, that's the only baby you're going to have. And then 14 years later, she has twins. And then she's like, what? So then that was a whole experience, and going through that whole thing. So those are the kind of stories that are on a moment of wisdom. And then there's more to come, because there's so many other people out there that are coming down the pike that I'm going to interview. And again, it's just about, life is about journeys, and it's about experiences, and it's about overcoming and finding a way and building relationships. And those are the conversations that I'm having with people on the streaming show, A Moment of Wisdom.
And I love that you have your own show and that you get to, be yourself and interview all these, talented, remarkable people. And everybody, each one has his or her own story. And it's great that, again, like my podcast, Relationship Building and Team Environment, your show is a lot to do about building relationships too. And it's just amazing work that you're doing. And you also wrote a book, and I want to talk to you about that.
Yes, my latest book right here. That's
Thank
how
you
you,
for
that shameless promotion, right? It was supposed to come out sooner, but that doesn't matter. It's called Unconventional Wisdom, and those stories, some of those stories that I was just telling you about, are in this book. There are conversations with Shaquille O'Neal, Leslie Jordan, Johnny Gill, Ralph Tresvant. Who else is in here? Ruthie Carter, who designed the Black Panther uniforms and got an Oscar. She's in here, and she went to Hampton University. They didn't even have that program when she went to Hampton, so she had to create her own program. And the next thing not overnight, but she wins an Oscar for costume design. Magic Johnson's in here. I talked to him many times over the years about basketball success, and he dealing with HIV and trying to talk to people about it being the whole AIDS epidemic. So
Sure.
he dealt with that as well, and he talked about, had conversations about that. Caleb Williams, who was the number one draft pick last year's draft for the Chicago Bears. So there's the Russo brothers, who were the producers for the last big Marvel movie. The Revolution's in here. Remember Prince's band, The Revolution?
Yes, I remember.
I got They're in here as well, talking about their relationship with Prince. So to me, when you read this book, it's just like this podcast that you're doing right now. Same kind of questions, same kind of vibe. It's like, okay, let's talk about what you're doing now and your journey and your experience with all these different in all these different areas of life. And I think that when you read, it's a short book. This one is short. It's I think you'll be entertained and I think you'll learn something. And another example is Ralph Tresvant, who was the lead singer with New Edition. So I asked him about being in a movie. He was is asked him about being in a James Brown movie playing the role of Sam Cooke because they gave him credit for it. He
Sure.
said, "I have never been in a movie before in my life. Not that
Wow.
movie. I wasn't in a James Brown movie." And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, I was not in that movie, but they gave me credit for it. I don't know how. They put my name in the marquee. So when they roll the credits at the end of the movie, this is the movie where Chadwick Boseman was James Brown. They
Yes.
put his name in the when they rolled in the credits. But Ralph Tresvant said he wasn't in the movie. And he said he never got paid for it either. He said he wouldn't mind getting a couple of checks, but he was never in the movie and he doesn't know how that happened. So it's just little stories like that,
Yeah.
entertaining stories like that. And then there's another book coming after that with the same kind of vibe. And my first book was about black quarterbacks in the NFL, the whole history of it going all the way back to the 50s to all the way up. Let's see, I published that book 2 years ago. So from the 50s all the way up to right before the Super Bowl with the Eagles and the Chiefs, the
Right, and you can't
first time.
forget about Doug Williams.
Doug Williams is definitely in this book. I've seen him a couple of times. And by the way, did you know that Doug's daughter is a basketball is a good basketball player? She's on the USC basketball team with Juju Juju Watkins,
Yes,
right?
I did know that, and it's just amazing, like very talented player.
Yes, very, very good. So those are the kind of things that just it's just about learning, just about learning. And I learn so much when I talk to people, when I have conversations with people. I'm learning every day, in every second I'm learning. And I actually saw Doug Williams at a basketball tournament with my son a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about his daughter at USC, and then his other daughter that was playing basketball at the tournament. So when I saw Fred Smoot, so
Yeah.
you know how it is in this area. You see some of everybody, you just start talking, and the next thing you know, it's 20, 30 minutes later, and you're still talking.
It's like the 6 degrees of separation as we talk about, because when I think about my time at Channel 9, I was just an intern. I wish I had a podcast back then, but I was only 21 years old. But I remember because I interned for a lady who was a producer who they had a morning show at WSA 9 at the time. So I remember meeting Joe Herndon from The Temptations,
Yes.
Sam Waterston, the long-running
Yeah.
actor, Eric Close from the show Without a Trace. And I remember I walked right up to him and I was talking to him, and there was other producers around, and I guess he found me to be a jovial, like energetic young intern who just was asking a lot of questions and just showing a lot of interest. And I guess he took a liking to me and he saw something unique about me. And he looked around the room and said, "Oh, this guy is going places. Watch out for that guy. He might be going this place one day." And I was like, and he was talking about WSA 9, which it was kind of funny. But no, and I just think about, yeah, when I was shadowing one of the news reporters there, Lindsay Mastis, who is back in DC. She spent some time down at WFLA. The NBC affiliate in Tampa, but she's now, I believe, at WJLA. But she was a former WSA 9 reporter, and I shadowed one of her stories, and that's how I got to meet LeVar Arrington, and got to watch her interview him. And it was right around the time, interestingly enough, that Michael Jackson had passed away. So I just remember that vividly. And she was just covering a story that sports related, and then just asking LeVar Arrington some questions. But it's just interesting. You mentioned Magic Johnson, and actually was just in conversation with his office a few weeks ago. I've been promoting my podcast, so I've been in touch with Magic Johnson's people, Derek Jeter's people, and Susan Hendricks, who I just interviewed a couple of weeks ago. She has a good friendship with Charles Barkley, and I met Charles Barkley when I lived in Atlanta. Interestingly enough, my wife's uncle and aunt met Charles Barkley, believe it or not. And so it's interesting how if you just keep your head up and you wherever you are and throughout your day, and if you're not shy or timid and you're fearless, it all it takes is starting conversation. They're all people too, and you'd be amazed at what type of conversations can be had and what type of relationships could be built just based upon a 5 or 10 minute conversation. Things are discussed, synergies are identified, you exchange numbers, you keep in touch. And then you just watch the magic happen. I mean, there's no secret sauce. It's relationship building, the team environment can exist anytime, any place, anywhere, and it could be in your personal life, professional life, and everywhere in between.
Right. And just like you said when you met that guy, how he said that you were jovial and that you were going places and he felt warm enough to talk to you about all these different things. People can sense. People know. They know if you're genuine. They know if you're for real and not trying to hustle them, if you will. Whereas what you and I are talking about is, hey, we're just having a conversation. I don't want anything from you. I'm not trying to, I don't want your money. I'm not trying to hustle you into doing something for me or anything like that. We're just talking. And then if it happens, if we build a relationship off of that, this is great. That's just gravy. Other than the fact you and I were talking and I got knowledge from you. It could be any kind of knowledge. You and I had a conversation, I got knowledge, I'm good. Anything beyond that is extra, it's gravy, it's the cherry on top. But the key is it's genuine. It's not forced. We didn't run up to each other and say, hey, how you doing? Let me get your number because I'm gonna be in Philly next week, or I'm gonna be in Chicago next week, and I'm gonna come to your and no, it's none of that. It's just, hey, how you doing? I know you're Charles Barkley, I know you're from Alabama. How's basketball? Blah blah blah, and then we just keep it moving. We just keep it moving, and that in itself, like you said, is organic and it's genuine, and people have a tendency to relate to that, and they connect with you based on that.
What has your family meant to you? And I know that we touched on a lot of different areas of your life, but I was curious to know about, your upbringing, growing up. Again, you mentioned your parents being educators, but talk to me about your family life and relationship building as a youth, and then I'll ask you, your final thoughts on relationship building.
Okay. Well, my family, again, my parents, my mother and father, both educators. Being from the South, a lot of my relatives, my grandmother was a teacher. She taught me in the first grade, by the way. My grandmother did. My mother taught me in the 10th grade. My father didn't teach me, thank God. That would have been a disaster. My grandfather was a principal. His dad was a principal. And there were just a lot of educators in my family. So from the very beginning, they always stressed the importance of education because they felt like with education, it will open the doors to lots and lots of opportunities down the road. My father, both my mother and my father, but my father more so, this is where I got my big mouth from because my father, he was a basketball coach as well. He knew everybody and talked to everybody. So every time I went somewhere with him, it was like a 15-minute conversation. And he goes, I'm 15 minutes. Dad, how do you know these people? Oh, I went to school with them. I went to high school or went to college or I know this person. Everybody in the town knew my father. Everybody in the neighboring town knew my father. So when I was running around, they were like, oh, that's Coach Wisdom's son. I mean, everybody, because that's the kind of person he was where everybody knew him because he would talk to everybody and he loved to talk. He loved to talk. My mother was the same way. Everybody knew Miss Martin, the English teacher over at Carthage High School, and they knew Coach Martin as well. And Coach Martin was very active in the community because he made sure that all of his players, no matter what their circumstances were at home, they always had a ride to the game. This man was going around picking up basketball players to take them to games that didn't have rides in his own personal car. Back then in a small town, they're not giving you money for that. You're using your own car. Your
Sure.
own gas, and you run around. We're talking like 10, 12 players. I don't know how they all got in the van, but they somehow managed to do that. So he's going around doing that. And I'm watching this and I'm like, this is impressive. This is impressive. And that's my dad. So that was very important to me. And that was very empowering to watch the impact that he had on the community and to watch the way that he interacted with different people and the same way with my mom. They're going around and everybody's like, oh, that's Coach Martin's son, that's Miss Martin's son, and my younger brother, same way, those are the Martin boys. That's the way it was. And again, they always told me when I tried to figure out when I watched TV when I was a child and I found an interest in doing this old television thing and being a journalist, my mother kind of guided me on this and she was saying, tell me what it was. When you go to school, this is what you can major in. She made sure that I had all my ducks in a row mentally to be ready for this. She was like, when you get to school, you're going to do this. And my father was a wild guy. He said to me when I got ready to go to college, he says, when you go to college, it's very different than high school. So I'm gonna tell you this right now. He said, you're going to have, unlike high school, where you were in here messing around, when you get to college, he said, son, you're going to have plenty of time to do your work, classes every other day. You get to make your own schedule. You be independent, blah, 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 blah. Don't get down there and start playing and start skipping class and messing up because you will get in trouble. But I'm telling you, I've given you the blueprint to be successful in college before you even got there. Dad, I got it. Of course, you know how this, Garrett, you know how this story is going to end after the first
Yes.
semester. I didn't have it. I was completely lost, confused, didn't know what I was doing. I got it together because I did graduate. I didn't, I graduated and got my degree, but that first year was rough. And he would always say, I told you. And it hadn't changed. You just got to get yourself together. You just got to get organized. And my mother was always organized and, so she, yep. You got to get organized. You got to get your thoughts organized. You got to come up with a plan. Everything has to be organized. And that's what I did. Got everything organized, straightened myself out, and got to the finish line and got on into television. So that's how important it was to have my family support system there. My brother and I went to college at the same time. He's 2 years younger than me. So we were college roommates. So that was tremendous as well because we had a great time. He also lived with me in Fresno. He came to
Wow.
Fresno. I know, right? He
That's
knows Mike
awesome.
Hill too. He knows Mike Hill as well because he came to, when I moved to Fresno, he came to Fresno with me. So, but having a family support system to guide you, to push you, to give you the blueprint, to tell you, all right, well, this is how you do it. And then when you fall off a little bit, they say, well, I told you the blueprint hasn't changed. You're just not doing what I told you to do. So get back in there, pick yourself up. And straighten yourself out and keep going. And those are the same lessons, Garrett, that I give to my kids. I talked to my college daughter about that. She's down at Tuskegee, about to be a senior at Tuskegee. I talked to my son about that when it comes to classroom and basketball. I talked to my youngest daughter about that, about the classroom and volleyball. And my oldest, again, I talked to her about going to school, navigating the ups and downs. She runs track down there and she's really good at track. But I talked to her about navigating the ups and downs and building relationships. This comes back to building relationships because now that I think about it, one of my college classmates from Jackson State is at the school where my daughter is. She's a vice president of academic, I can't remember her exact title, but it's like academic affairs or something at Tuskegee. So when my daughter go and the connection part. So that's one of my classmates from college, right? And I'm like, we're real classmates. It's not like we bumped into each other in the hall. We came in together for 4 years, had classes together, so we know each other. In addition to that, her brother married a lady from my high school who went to my high school, who my mother taught. All right. And then they're also, that family is also good friends with my father-in-law who taught at Jackson State. So you
Wow.
see, so then I'm telling my daughter all these different things. I'm like, this is connections. This is relationships. That lady is not just some random stranger. Your dad went to school with her. All right. Her husband married somebody that I went to high school with that your grandmother taught. And your grandfather is friends with their family. So this brings it all back home to what you were talking about in the beginning. Building relationships. Relationships are very important. And I tell her about that all the time. I was like, get on the phone, call Dr. Bishop because blah, blah, blah. She's like, yes, Dad, because she's young and she doesn't get it yet. But she will. She will. But that's important. So that's going back to what your original question, having a family support system to point you in the right direction is crucial. And it was crucial in my development.
That's well said, and I love how you brought up your brother, your kids, and how all those relationships are intertwined. And you are a true relationship builder, wisdom in every sense of the word. And I greatly appreciate your time on my podcast, on the Relationship Building and Team Environment podcast, Wave Capital Speaker Series. And any final thoughts about relationship building? For me and my audience at home, viewers and listeners alike, any final thoughts about relationship building before we depart from our interview today?
Well, you know what? Number one, I appreciate you having me, and thank you so much. And I look forward to continuing to speak with you and continued success on your podcast. Well, I know you'll do well, just like the guy told you a long time ago. Oh, you got this, so I know you're going to do well. The parting words I would say is to always be open-minded to learning. You never stop learning. from the time you're old enough to start learning and speaking, just keep learning. And I'm not necessarily talking about learning in the classroom. That's great as well. We know education is important. That's huge. But outside of the classroom, in this world that we live in, building relationships is crucial. It is crucial because you're all along the journey, you're meeting people, you're connecting with people, you should be connecting with people. And it's not like a job, not like you're connecting for work, or I'm connecting because I'm supposed to connect because this person can do something for me. I'm talking about something beyond that. I'm talking about connecting with people, and it just so happens they might be able to do something for you. But building a genuine connection with people is important and is crucial, and is something that we all should be doing because, again, learning. I've learned things throughout this journey that I had no clue about. Cultures, people's backgrounds, places that I've been, all things that I've learned because I was open-minded and I said, okay, I want to learn from this person. I'm going to build a relationship with this person. And because I want the only thing I want is the knowledge and to have a conversation with them because that's the way you build. That's the way humanity is supposed to work. And the more we learn about each other, the more we learn about each other's experiences, the more we learn about each other's cultures, the better off we will be.
Yes, absolutely. And what was real quick your favorite country you visited outside of the US?
Ooh, let's see, favorite country. You know what? This is going to be weird because I know this is not really outside of the US, but Montreal. How about Montreal?
That counts. Canada
Does
counts.
that count?
Absolutely. Yes, it
Okay.
does.
Montreal. I went to the Jazz Fest last summer. I've been to other places, but the Jazz Fest in Montreal was amazing to me because I can't remember the month, but I know it was summertime. And they have it every year. It's 2 weeks, and they have a bunch of free concerts outside. I took the whole family. And it was a family trip, so that part was amazing. But to be in Montreal for the first time and to be out there, and a lot of the jazz artists at the free venues, they're not big names. There's some names, they're like medium level names. You had to pay for the other ones, and they came the following week. I was gone. But Montreal was amazing because it was a vibe to me. Walking, being able to walk down the street, there's a jazz concert over here, and then you go over here, and there's another jazz concert, and then you walk up the street. The weather was great. The people were happy. I mean, it was great. So that was my favorite place. Next on the list, though, don't tell anybody, Toronto. I'm going to Toronto next.
You're
So
exploring
I'm
all of
looking forward to
Canada. I
that.
love it.
Oh, really? You've been there?
No, I have not been there.
Okay.
My sister has,
Okay.
my wife's family members have on her side of the family, but I love it that you keep on talking about Canada because I can't wait to visit it. I
Yeah.
want my wife and I to visit it. I think it's an amazing country from what I know.
I am looking forward to this. I just love it because again, it's a family trip. We're getting to go see something new. It's not just things that we've done here because we've been here, been a lot of places here in this country. So it's time to get outside of that. So I just love it. I'm looking forward to it, and I can't wait. I'll report back. I'll give you a full report when I get back from Toronto.
Please do. Please do, Wisdom. Thank you so much for being a guest, my 65th guest on the Wave Capital's guest speaker series on relationship building and a team environment. Thank you so much, Wisdom Martin. Always a
Thank you.
pleasure. And I look forward to staying in touch. And I'll
Absolutely.
make sure to tell Mike and Stephanie that we had our interview. And I look forward to many more conversations.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. I really do appreciate it. Thank you for having me. It is truly my pleasure and my honor. And I look forward to keeping in touch with you and speaking with you again. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Wisdom, and congratulations on all your success.
Thank you.